The Arkansas Talent Podcast is about all things talent in the state of Arkansas. We talk with talented leaders across a variety of industries, including accounting, finance, and HR, where they share their journey and thought leadership. We will also share our knowledge, which includes over 25 years of experience in recruitment in the state. I'm Stephanie Shine.
And I'm Chris Chun. This podcast was inspired not only for the job seeker, but also for hiring leaders and executives to find success and thrive in today's job market.
Welcome back to the Arkansas Talent Podcast. I know it's been a few months, but Chris and I have been pretty busy with ATG, but we are so glad to be back at it. We're excited to bring you a very special guest, someone who embodies what it means to use professional skills for the greater good in Arkansas and beyond, and someone that we've known for a long time in the industry, very well-respected CFO. Our guest today is Phyllis Rogers. She's the CFO of AFMC. She's also a community leader and advocate for families through her work on the board of the Ronald McDonald House of Arkansas and Northern Louisiana. Phyllis, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Stephanie and Chris. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Phyllis, we're so excited to have you on today. And we've got so much that we want to cover. But before we kind of jump into the content, let's start by letting our listeners just get to know you a little bit more. So tell us a little bit more about your background. Tell us, start from the beginning. Where did you grow up, your early career steps, and then maybe kind of what drew you into the world of finance and healthcare?
Okay, perfect. Yeah. Well, I grew up in Hot Springs, and I was really fortunate to have great parents. And they were such a great mix because my dad was more of the, you know, wanting you to be independent and get a good education and all around education. And then my mom was more of the social aspect. So I thought it was such a great combination, the two of them. And so supportive through those formative years. And then I went to Hot Springs High School, where I graduated. In my senior year, I was really fortunate because I thought I loved math, you know, geometry and algebra. And I thought, oh, I could major in math. Well, what do you do when you major in math? I'm not too sure. So then I got to calculus and it wasn't as much fun anymore. And across the hall was an accounting class. And the last semester of my senior year, I switched over there and I was like, oh, this is a practical application to math. And I get to use math, which I love, but it makes so much sense. So that's where accounting came into my life. And then I knew when I went to college what I wanted to major in, which I really feel like that was fortunate too, because a lot of kids graduate high school and they're not sure what they want to do. And they, their first couple of years of college, they're just trying to find their way. So that kind of set my path. And I went to University of Arkansas at Fayetteville. But I wound up graduating here in Little Rock from University of Arkansas, Little Rock, with a bachelor's in accounting. And then I became a CPA. And so that kind of set me forth. And I really do think for people majoring in accounting that CPA is really, really important to get you to those higher levels. And then through my career, I spent about 13 years at Stevens Diversified Leasing. And then they were acquired by SunTrust Credit. So that was a real experience working with SunTrust Bank out of Atlanta. Spent a lot of time in Atlanta. And then I had 17 years with Delta Dental. And that was my entry into healthcare on the dental side. Great experiences there. It's a fantastic company. And then I spent a little bit of time at Forever Care, which was one of the passes that the state was, it was a new concept. And they were the main parent was Highmark. So I had to spend some time in Pennsylvania at the Highmark in Pittsburgh at the Highmark headquarters, which was really interesting as well. So a lot of cool experiences. Mm-hmm. And then that led me to my current role as CFO of AFMC. And I've been there for about 6.5 years. Fantastic company. I mean, we've got such great, incredible professionals that do a lot of really cool thing. So I feel like I've been really fortunate how I've, you know, gone through my career at these great organizations.
Yeah. How long have you been at AFMC now?
Well, it was about 6.5 years. And it's been fantastic. And I plan to retire from here one day.
I love that. Can you describe or tell us a little bit more about AFMC? What's the mission and what does your day-to-day look like?
Day to day. Well, I'll tell you a little bit overall about AFMC. And, some folks may be surprised, but there is the word foundation in our name. So we are a not-for-profit, but we are about 400 employees. So we're a pretty good size organization. Yes. And we do a lot of support for the state around health and social services. So we do a lot of the backroom processing for Medicaid. We do their call center. We do their provider relations. We do their prior authorizations. We have nurses and physicians that do the prior authorization for medical treatments that are required under Medicaid to have those pre-authorized. We do just a variety of work. We do a lot of work around quality. We have some federal contracts with quality. We do work for the foster kids that when they're ready for adoption, they need to have a full medical record. And so we have a team of people that collect those medical records and prepare that that's a requirement before they can be adopted. So we really feel like that's, something that we really feel in our heart that we're helping these kiddos get adopted because that's a roadblock for them to be able to get adopted. So that's tremendous work that our team does. And we also do some mental health work in schools for the teachers and the students in a couple of school districts through a federal grant. So we're always looking for opportunities to bring funds to Arkansas that can help support needs that we have. And, post-COVID, there's a lot of mental health issues. So in how my day looks, it's so varied. I mean, and I love that. I love the fact that we could be talking about, a contract related to mental health one minute, and then we're talking about something related to our call center the next, and we're looking at forecasts and we're trying to plan for the future. We've had several large bids lately that we've been working on, so that's been a real consuming of our time. But I think it's so great because it is we do such a variety of things, but it is also so wonderful how we're able to give back to our state and help people in our state. So it's really Arkansans helping Arkansans learn about their benefits or navigate through the red tape. And I think that's just really important. So it's really thrilling work that we do.
And that's awesome. I mean, you guys are making sure that resources reach the communities that need them the most. So that's so
Yes.
important. I want to kind of pivot now to talking a little bit more about building the teams. So tell us a little bit more. I mean, that's a big organization. I didn't realize it was 400 employees. That's a large organization. So tell us a little bit more about like what's your philosophy on building strong teams and, empowering people inside of your organization.
Yeah, Chris, great question. And I will say we rely a lot on our values. So, a lot of organizations go through and define their values. We've made ours an acronym. They're the HEART values, which is, I'll see if I can get them right, honesty, excellence, accountability, respect, and teamwork. And we really feel like if you have those five things and you hire people who believe in those five things, you're building teams that are highly functional, they work well together, they have fun while they do it. But and I really believe in finding that right fit. We do some upfront testing to kind of fit. Are you a good fit? Is your personality, is your, they say people never change, truly who they are at their core. So we try to get at, are they really truly a fit? Because you can have that interview and then the person that shows up for job, you're going, is that the same person we talked to? Because
Yeah. Happens.
you hear all these, they tell you what you want to hear, but we're really trying to get to how successful are they going to be in this position? Because wrong hires aren't good for our company, but they're not good for the individual either. They don't want to be in a bad fit, and that's just not helpful. Probably mentally either because they don't feel good about themselves because it's not working for them. And I think most people, when you do have a wrong hire, the manager recognizes it, the employee recognizes it, and sometimes it just takes a while to get to that point where you part ways. And that's not a fun experience for anyone. So we do have a relatively low turnover rate. I think we're around 4%, which is very low. If
Wow.
we exclude our call center, okay. Call centers are a different animal, right? I think we'll all acknowledge that. But we really believe it's important to find that right fit, give them the training they need to be successful, and then hold them accountable. So that's our accountability. So we strive for excellence, but we want to hold each other accountable each day to excel. And in that 400 employees, we have about 70 members of management from supervisors up. So we do a lot of management training. We do Dale Carnegie training once a year for our whole management team and pick. We do a customized where we pick topics that we feel like are important for our management team. Of course, we still work a lot remote. We have hybrid employees, we have work from home employees. And so we did some training around managing remote employees, right? So I feel like that's really important. And every 6 months, we send five members of our management to the organized Dale Carnegie class. So they go through that, and we're just about through all of our management team. So when we finish that, we'll find something else for them to do. But we feel like leadership is really important to instill in our management and continue to grow them so we can continue to have succession planning as well for members of management as they retire or leave. We've got people waiting in the wings to move up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so smart that you guys are so into the Dale Carnegie and the leadership training. And we actually had Jessie on. I don't know if she's your person, but
Love Jessie. Love her. Yes, she is
everyone
our
loves,
person.
there's a little shout out for Jessie. We'll tag her on
Yes.
this, but she's incredible and does really, really good work. And Chris and I eventually, when we get big enough, want to do that. But she came on the podcast and kind of talked about building teams and culture and training. And it's so good when companies do that and it's reflected in your
Yes.
turnover rate. I mean, that's
It
incredible
really
your
is. It
accomplishment.
really is. And I will tell you, they're so great about customizing. So every year we go through and figure out, how many sessions we try to do an in-person, but then we do some remote ones as well. So they help us navigate what would be better in person to have that benefit of everyone being together. And we always plan the day where half the management team is in the morning, the other half's in the afternoon. Of course, we have Little Rock and Fort Smith, so then we have to do a different day in Fort Smith. But then we have lunch in the middle. So our whole management team can be together that's here in Little Rock over lunch, and then they can, split off and get back to their day and then have the second group. So yeah,
It's good
so
to
it
get everyone
works out
together
really
too.
well. It really is. It really is. Yeah.
A lot of companies are also, especially after COVID, focusing on, their core values and how that is just critical for their organization's success and for their culture. And it sounds like you guys have done a really good job at that. Tell me, do you, during the process of somebody working there, do you kind of performance manage them to those core values? You said that you hire them to them, but let's say someone's not working out at 30 or 90 or even a year down the road, do you kind of bring up your core values and say, okay, you're not hitting H or E or A or something like that?
Yes, we actually do. And so we do our annual performance evaluation. Our competencies are built around our core values. So we wanted to make sure our competencies hit on all five of our core values and how those competencies support that. So then we also continue that throughout the year in continuous feedback. So our system is set up where our management team can go in throughout the year and do this continuous feedback. So we just continually have that, and we really encourage our management team to continue to have those conversations. And it's important to have those open, honest conversations with your employee because it's so important for them to grow and get back on the right track, right? And then, we want to give everyone an opportunity to be successful, and we hate to part ways, but sometimes there are those times where you have to part ways. But we try to minimize that as much as possible by, encouraging our management team to keep that feedback open, whether it's positive or negative. And we encourage positive feedback as well, right? So I think that's important for retention. But that, corrective, action sometimes is necessary. And that just helps the employee go, oh, okay, I'll get back on the right track, and empowers them to be successful in their role. Otherwise, they're just struggling, and we don't want that. We don't want that for the company or for the employee. So,
I think it's interesting that you're Turnover is at 4%, which, by the way, congratulations. That's amazing for the size of your company, but also interesting that you have all the management going through the Dale Carnegie. And I guess we're really doing Jesse a plug here. Actually, I ran into her at a birthday party on Saturday, and you just we talked for a long time, just catching up, and you just forget how many different, like you said, customized plans that they have for different individuals. And kind of hearing her story of just through COVID, so many people lost touch with management and succession planning and just training their future leaders. And so it's great to hear organizations kind of getting back to that. And I think that is a reflection maybe of maybe why your turnover is so low is because you're taking care of your managers for training.
Right. And we've been doing this special training with Dale Carnegie for probably about 5 years, because I worked with Dale
Nice.
Carnegie in the past when I was at Delta Dental. So I really believe in it.
Yeah.
And so we were doing it. I think we did it before COVID, and then we started, I guess, so it might be 6 years, but we've just tried to continue it even through that, because we just feel it's so critically
Yeah.
important to, give our management team those tools. And we feel like that pushes down to our employees. But I did mention our call center. So our call center turnover is quite a bit higher, but it's probably, we do use a lot of temporaries in our call center. So they tend to turn over a little bit more. But I think
Sure.
call centers run about 50%, but we're probably in that 20 to 30% range on our call
Wow.
center. So we try to keep that separate, because it's so unique and so different.
Oh, yeah.
But when we hire them as employees, we're probably only in about the, 5 to 8%. So we still have good success there, but
Wow.
having them as temporaries before we hire them, it really kind of lets us, figure out, are they a good fit? Because that's a very difficult skill set to hire for, we found.
Yeah.
So it is.
it's just so unique. But the rest of the company, we may be hiring, nurses and physicians, and they, tend to, be, we're a little bit better at focusing on the skill set we need in those areas. And we've been much more successful there. So it's been a great process.
Before we shift gears, do you have anything else about AFMC that's exciting that's coming up, or what you guys are looking forward to?
Well, I mentioned we have a couple of bids we just finished with the state, so we're looking forward to learning about those in the spring. We've got some other things coming up that we're working on. But one thing that we do is AFMC TV. I don't know if you've heard of it,
Oh.
but it's AFMC.tv. And they're short segments, about 15-minute segments, and they're very professionally done. We have a great team that does our AFMC TV. We have a little studio, so if you ever need a studio.
Oh, cool.
But they record typically in the studio. Sometimes they're virtually done, but they're about 15 minutes, and it's interviewing healthcare professionals or people who work in the healthcare space in Arkansas. So you might be learning about maternal mortality, or some other chronic illness, or a public issue here in Arkansas. So it's really focused on Arkansas, and it's, like I said, it's short. But if you go to AFMC.tv, there's a channel there with all the episodes, and I think it's a great tool that we've been able to give the state, that people can learn about healthcare from professionals. And so we try to get the experts in certain areas to talk about that. So I think that's really a nice service that we do. We don't have a contract that pays for that. We pay for that ourselves. So we're very contract ran, right? So we have all of our state and federal contracts. So our accounting for those are very complex. But we do feel like there are certain things we need to do to give back. And so that's one of the ways that, we feel like we're able to give back, as well as through supporting organizations like, some of the charities we do, like Ronald McDonald House. So
I love that you guys do that. Well, let's shift gears then. So you are on the board, and
Well, actually, vice chair this year.
oh,
I'll
next
be
year.
chair
Okay.
next
That's
year.
right. That's right. And we are excited when we saw that you were the chair of the chocolate ball that's coming up. And so we wanted to learn about you, but also have you on to talk about the chocolate fantasy ball. what it's going to entail. Talk about this incredible event and how to get connected with the Ronald McDonald House charity. So I guess tell us, how did you get involved with the house?
Well, so I, gosh, probably 11 years ago, Janelle Mason, and at the time she was on the board in the CEO of the house at the time, came to visit me in my office. I was at Delta Dental at the time. And ironically, probably about 2 weeks before she came to visit, they came to visit me. My niece in Rhode Island, or I guess she technically lived in Massachusetts, she had a premature baby, and it was also during a blizzard. And
Oh.
so she was had the baby in the hospital. The baby was in NICU, and she couldn't get between her home and the hospital. And even though Ronald McDonald House is generally you have to be a certain distance away to stay there, they overrode that rule because of the blizzard. So she and her husband were able to stay at the house to stay close to their newborn baby, who was premature, and her name's Reagan, the baby. And so then here comes Janelle into my office like 2 weeks later and asked if I would be on the capital campaign committee for the new house they were looking to build on the campus of Children's Hospital here in Little Rock. And I just felt like it was something I was meant to do because of the timing and how all of that worked out, which was incredible. So I served on that campaign. And then I've been on the board for about 9 years. You're on for six and then roll off for a year and then back on for my second round of being on. But I will add to the story. So little Reagan, who's now 11, I think it was around Christmas time last year, she had to do a school project for volunteering, and she collects the little pop tabs for Ronald McDonald House and wrote a letter. And I try not to cry, but she wrote a letter about when she was a baby and how the Ronald McDonald House helped her parents. And that's why she likes to give back to the Ronald McDonald House. And so it was really sweet how that came full circle. And she's kind of paying it forward for what they did for her family while she was in NICU. So anyway, sorry.
Man, what an incredible story. Like
I
and
know.
timing. That's
Yeah.
to hear how you got started in that's awesome.
Yeah.
And for those that aren't familiar, describe to us what happens at the Ronald McDonald House and what does it mean for a family that's in crisis to have a place like this?
Yes. Great question, Chris. So the Ronald McDonald House provides a place for families to stay, and it could be, and it could be that mom just had a C-section and she's released from the
Yeah.
hospital, but she's still recovering. And without the Ronald McDonald House, she might be sleeping in her car or in the waiting room at the hospital. And what the house gives, and particularly the new house in Little Rock, has private bathrooms in each suite. So they have their own room with their bathroom. Some of the suites are long stay for maybe if there's a child getting long-term cancer care, they might have a little kitchenette in them. And so it affords them a place to stay and meals. So there's always dinner, and we have groups that come in and cook. So we're always looking for groups that will come in and cook a meal for the families. And that's a way a lot of people volunteer at the house. We generally have lunch items and sometimes breakfast items. Where Tyson's is a very generous sponsor, as is, oh, who's the milk?
Highland.
Highland Dairy. Highland
Highland.
Dairy. Highland Dairy is so awesome, and they donate
Nice.
a ton of supplies. They have a freezer or a refrigerator in the house. And so the families have things that they can have for breakfast and lunch, and then usually a hot meal for dinner, but also they have each other, and the families will connect because they're all going through a serious illness. They may have a child in NICU or in ICU. It could have been through an injury. It might be through, something they were born with. It might be they're going through cancer treatments. But even if the child is going through something different, the parents are all going through that same angst, that same mental, trying to deal with what's happening with their child. And these families bond, and they have each other to talk to, where you might say, What can I help you with? I understand what you're going through. I
Yeah.
really don't understand what you're going through. But those families all understand what the each other's going through. So this also brings them together in the communal areas, in the kitchen and the dining room, when they're all eating, coming in for dinner. They bond together and they're able to
That's
share
cool.
with each other, and they can go in one of the living areas and just talk and cry if they need to, and whatever they need, there's support there. And we have an amazing staff. Let me tell you, this staff is so caring and so wonderful, ran by Janelle Mason. And actually, Eric Mangum is the current chair that I'll be succeeding next year. But Janelle is amazing with her teams and the way that it's grown, and we continue to grow. Janelle just really brings that to each new staff member that we have, and they learn to love these families and support these families. And that's what it's about. So it's about giving them a place to stay, no questions asked. If they want to make a donation, they can, but they don't have to. And that's a financial burden that most families cannot handle. They can't go get a hotel room for 6 weeks or 3 months or 380 days. I mean, we've had families that long. I mean, it's just amazing, the support that we get from the community to have the house.
Yeah, and you can feel the passion of the employees and the staff. And when you walk in there, it's just a calming, upbeat, positive, supportive vibe, right? And I think it's amazing.
Really is.
And building the new house, I too worked with Ronald McDonald with the old house, and it's just night and day with having all the amenities that you guys have now, and just walking in, it just feels like a place of love and support. And I'm just so impressed with how things have grown and developed over the, last 10 years, really. And also there was just an opening, if you want to talk about that, that's exciting.
It's incredibly exciting. So, several years ago, we were asked by Global to take over Northern Louisiana. And so we just opened a house in Shreveport about, gosh, probably 3 weeks ago. And we had the grand opening on a Tuesday. And the very next Monday, families were staying in the house. And it's a
Oh, cool.
beautiful house. It's right across the street from Willis Knight, but it serves all the hospitals in the Shreveport-Bossier area. And it is a beautiful house. It has such amazing touches for the family. All of the houses have like an indoor play area for the siblings of the child, recognizing there might be siblings. I failed to mention some of them have pull-out couches because sometimes in-laws are there too. You may have grandparents, you may have multiple members of the family. So we try to make it where, more people can stay in the room, when you have these extended family situations. And we have outdoor play areas as well, for those siblings. So it's just a beautiful, beautiful facility. And Shreveport has never had a Ronald McDonald House. So this is very groundbreaking for them. And it's such a need. And that's one thing we always look at. What's the need of the hospitals, and what's the need? How many, babies do they have in NICU? What's their, what kind of support do they need in that area? And then that's why we determine, is it a house or is it family rooms? So we're also going to do family rooms in Monroe, Louisiana. So that project has started. It's not complete yet, but we're also doing a house embedded in Baptist Hospital in West Little Rock. So that has started construction. It's up in the Mezzadine area. It's going to be a beautiful facility for the families that have babies in the NICU at Baptist. And we have family rooms at UAMS. And if that's not enough, Janelle has been a very busy girl. Earlier this year, we were asked to incorporate Arcoma into our organization, which includes Northwest Arkansas. So we have a house in Fort Smith, which is a beautiful house. I have been to it. We have facilities in Springdale and the Fayetteville. I've seen the sign. I've not been in it at Washington Regional years ago, the Ronald McDonald sign. And so we have more facilities up there. So Janelle is just driving from one end of the state down to Shreveport, Monroe, she's all over the place. Dynamo, let me tell you.
Yeah, I don't know how she does it, but it's just so exciting. And all, I mean, this charity and this organization, I mean, it couldn't be done without the generous donors with through all of the events. I mean, the support of the community that you guys have and how important it is, it's really incredible. And we couldn't do any of that without the donations and the generosity of the community either.
So true. That's so very true.
Yeah, great. Well, speaking of, let's talk about chocolate. So, Chris and I have started, actually, Eric invited me and my husband a couple of years ago, and we've just been hooked ever since. We love the event. It's so moving, and it raises a lot of money for the house. And so now this is kind of our team event. So we're excited. We're looking forward to it. Talk with us a little bit about chairing it, when it is, and this is a huge responsibility. So kind of walk us through what process you're in right now with planning.
Okay, great. Yes. Well, the event is February 28th, 2026. So it will be coming up before we know it. We'll blink and it will be here. So it's hard to believe it's just a few months away. But it is Chocolate Fantasy Ball. If you've never been, it has been voted the either Gala of the Year or sorry, I think it's like the best charity event in Arkansas. For the past, I think it's been about 7 or 8 years.
It's got several
So,
awards, I think.
yes, we have a long-running title there with several publications. So it's an amazing event, lots of chocolate, and we have chefs, local chefs that donate. We actually have a chocolate committee that sources all of our chocolate. So if anyone wants to volunteer for a committee, that's a fun one. And you go around and ask people for chocolate. There's chocolate martinis, there's chocolate everything. There's just a sea of chocolate. And but then we have an auction. We have a silent auction, live auction. So we have an auction committee working hard right now, gathering auction items. So there's usually some amazing auction items. And then of course, it's a beautifully decorated event. We'll have it'll be a formal event, lots of wonderful food and beverage. But we also spotlight a family. And during the event, the family is there. They share their story. It's so moving to see firsthand from a family who's been touched by the house, what it means to them and how important it is. So even though we're there celebrating and we're having a great time, we also remember why we're there. And it is the biggest fundraiser for Central Arkansas. And that's another thing we do. We make sure the fundraisers in Little Rock, the funds stay in Little Rock. The fundraisers in Northwest Arkansas stay in Northwest Arkansas. Shreveport stay in Shreveport. So those local donors are supporting their local houses. And so we want to be very clear to people, that's the main fundraiser for the house here in Little Rock. And without it, we wouldn't be able to keep the doors open. So it's critically important. But it is a beautiful, beautiful evening. And we hope a lot of people were looking for sponsors. There's lots of ways people can get involved and help. You can volunteer. You can volunteer at the event. So there's lots of things happening. We're working on, food tasting for the event, the colors, the decor. So it will be a beautiful evening for everyone. But the main focus is auction items, chocolate, sponsors. We really need that because that's what makes the event a big success.
And big shout out to Alex, who is the development director. I don't know how he does it. He has all of these events that he's helping plan every detail along with the chair and with the committees. And he does an excellent job at making sure that each event runs smoothly. So kudos to him too.
Yes, he keeps us on track. Without Alex, the wheels would
Wow.
fall off the train and we wouldn't know what we were doing.
I don't know how he does it.
He is amazing. He really is.
And last year was the first time I'd ever been to the chocolate ball. Stephanie had been talking about it for years, and we decided to finally come as a team. And that speaker last year, the family that they highlighted, that guy that I can't remember his name now and in the exact scenario, but he had a child. I think when he was like South Arkansas and his child had been in the hospital for like 70 plus days. His speech was incredible. I mean, it was so good. I looked over, half my table was crying, my wife was crying, and then it was like, pull out your wallets,
Oh, I
because you want
know.
to give to these families. Because I mean, I've got twin boys, and one of my boys was in NICU for about 11 or 12 days, and it was in June of 2020, so in the middle of COVID, which was insane. But me and my wife were talking, like, we live in Central Arkansas, they were at Baptist, so we were able to easily get to and from our house. But it really hit home because it was like, man, if you really live far away, like, this is so hard on a family, and could just see the deep
Really is.
impact and tugged on our hearts for sure. And so now I feel like Stephanie has introduced me to Chocolate Ball, and us as individuals and a company, I mean, we're all about it because it is such a great mission, and such a fun event. I will
That's
say that as much too. I mean, we had an absolute blast. It's,
so fun.
so tell us more for like those that haven't been. I know you kind of mentioned a little bit about, the chocolate tastings and the auction items, but tell about some of the other aspects, the entertainment, and then maybe
Oh
how the
gosh.
funds directly benefit, the house's work.
Yes, and we always have the best band. We have the same band last year. And so after the program, there's dancing, there's happy meals. I mean,
I
it's just
forgot
it
about the
turns
happy
into
meals.
a party. It's just a party atmosphere, really celebrating the house, celebrating our families. And so it's just a premier event. It's so well done. Every detail is thought out. Going back to Alex, he just makes sure the event runs smoothly and everything works really well. Now, do you want to hear? I actually have chaired the ball once before.
Oh, okay.
You may not know this.
No, tell us.
It was during COVID, and we did
Oh
not
my
have an
gosh.
event. That's why they wanted me to chair again. And I said, no, I've already chaired. And they said, but you didn't get to have an event. I don't, it's all about the house. It's not, but I love going to the event, right? Love, love, love it. But in 2021, I chaired the event. We did not have, we couldn't have the event, right? Because we were in the midst of COVID. And so we did a virtual event. We were in the living room at the house, live on Facebook for probably, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes. We did the door and all of that. But while we were downstairs, there was a chef on the fifth floor, and they had prepared the meal that you would typically have at the gala, a beautiful meal, and with all the chocolate. We had a chef upstairs that prepared that for the family staying in the house.
Oh,
And so
that's
while we
awesome.
were downstairs broadcasting, the families were enjoying a meal. And I will tell you, the sponsors were all in that year. Even though they couldn't attend the event, they were still there. They were still supporting the house, which was tremendous that even though we couldn't have the event, they still supported us. And that really, to me, spoke volumes about the commitment to our sponsors and our donors. They really believe in the mission, even if they can't come to the event. But now we can come to the event, we can all be together, and we can celebrate and, toast with champagne or a chocolate martini, right? And just have a incredible evening. So,
That just gave me chills. It's just such a great mission. And it seems like when you ask anybody, hey, do you know about the Ronald McDonald House? It's touched somebody, somebody's family member, somebody's friend's family. And so it's really something that all of us need, and all of it's a great way to support our community. Because
Absolutely.
you think about it, if it was your kids, if you don't have that experience yourself, like Chris said, like you would appreciate it, you would need it. It's just such a difficult time when it has to do with your kids. So, just amazing. I have a funny story to tell you too. The auction items are great. The chocolate's incredible. You get to take it home in little boxes. So like our kids are always like, bring us home the chocolate, But I have a funny story from last year. So our team, this was our second time or first time going as a team last year. And We had two tables with, kind of some friends intertwined with our, company. And one of my friends was at our table and they started doing the live auction where you're auctioning off trips. And so it's funny because we're like looking forward to this year. But anyway, she was getting excited and she's like, oh, that's great. You won, and this was a trip to France. Well, she was getting excited and they thought she'd raised her hand to bid on the there's additional trips to France to rent this house out. So they came running over to her, bottle champagne popped it, everyone's screaming, like just, oh my gosh, what's going on? Her husband, if you looked at him, he was just like, is this happening? And so now I'm happy to say that we're all going to France this summer. So we're not gonna leave her hanging. So we're just talking about our trip in this really cool house in Bordeaux. And
My
so
gosh.
we're gonna make sure that, I mean, maybe it'll happen this year. I don't know, but it was a lot of fun. It was a great experience. And now we're getting to go travel this summer. So
That's amazing.
yeah.
Well, that's so great. Can't wait to hear about your trip. That's
Yeah.
fantastic.
Oh, so fun. So she's gonna sit next to me and we'll just make sure that we don't raise our hand unless we really want to go. So,
Yes.
but it'll be fun. So, you are so passionate about the mission. And I guess what does this mean to you this year? I mean, you get to do it again, which is very exciting. Is there anything else that you're just really looking forward to?
Well, I think it's just being able to be there to support the family. I mean, it's an honor to be there. I feel like it's an extension of you're representing all the families that can't be there. And we're working toward making sure that they have a place to stay. And so every dollar that's donated, and we used to call it Share a Night, and now, oh gosh, I'm blanking on the name, but it's where folks can donate so those families can continue to, oh, it's Adopt a Family now is what we're calling it. And actually, AFMC is sponsor of the Adopt a Family this year.
I love that.
So that's such an important time because it's almost like your donation is directly, you can think about it, you've adopted a family. You have a family you're supporting. So you know your money is supporting that family. And we really try. I mentioned before, I'm going off chocolate fantasy ball, but by adding Northwest Arkansas in northern Louisiana, we are doing the administrative cost. Our same administrative team here can do payroll for all of those folks, do all the accounting for all of those chapters or those houses as well. And so we can spread that administrative costs. So our goal is to keep that administrative cost as low as possible. And we have a lot of volunteers, and that really helps because we have volunteers that help cook and do things like that that we don't have to pay anyone to do. So that's really important for us. So most of the money we raise will go to support those families. So you really are adopting a family and helping that family through the most horrible time in their life. So I view it as an honor to be able to be there. Kind of as an extension of the families, because we're working for them, but we're also going to have a great time, and we're going to have a party, and we're going to celebrate and celebrate our donors, celebrate our families, just celebrate the fact that we're able to have these houses and these family rooms for these families. I think our community is so amazing. We have such incredible supportive donors. We're celebrating them as well. We're celebrating our community of support that comes together just to have a beautiful evening together and just know what it's like to be able to be together in a room and celebrate. I mean, post-COVID, these moments are more precious, I think. And we need to celebrate them and realize that, we may not always have this opportunity to have these events and to do these things. And we're just lucky to be in a society, in a community that can come together like this and really celebrate. And we have a lot of weirdness going on in the world. Let's just come together and have fun. And I think it's a great opportunity to do that and just be with the people you work with or your family or your close friends and just have a great evening out and just really enjoy while you're supporting a great A great cause. I mean, what's a better evening than that, right?
Yeah.
This is what we look forward to every year, and we're already gearing up for it. We're so excited. Why don't you tell us how people can get involved? I mean, should they get in touch with you? How do they get involved?
Well, they certainly can get in touch with me or Alex Hudson at the house. Alex is great. He, like I said, we have teams of volunteers, lots of different committees you could serve on if you like doing that to support Chocolate Fantasy Ball. If you just want to do something around the house, they're always looking for volunteers to fold sheets or organize cabinets or restock something. I mean, we have laundry services for the families. If you can't volunteer your time and you don't get involved with Chocolate Fantasy Ball, they have like an Amazon wish list for things that the families need. And so it's a way you can go on Amazon and order it and it'll go straight to the house.
Oh,
And the
cool.
house will know it came from you and that you made that donation. Snack foods for the kiddos, they're always needing snack foods, all kinds of needs. But for Chocolate Fantasy Ball, yeah, I mentioned earlier, we love sponsors. We're working on finalizing the sponsors, hopefully in the next month or so. I know with the holidays, things kind of slow down. So in January, we'll wrap all that up. And then auction items. So you mentioned we have a live auction and a silent auction. So we're looking for all kinds of auction items. We have a great auction committee if anyone wants to get involved with that. And then chocolate. We're getting our, and we have a lot of companies or a lot of restaurants and chefs that every year, they're back every year supplying chocolate every single year. And you can expect just some amazing, delicious treats. It's incredible every year. I think it gets better and better every year. So, but there's lots of ways to help. So, yes, I'm happy if anyone wants to reach out to me or Alex or anyone at the house. We can get you connected in. However you want to volunteer, we can help get you connected.
Well, that's awesome. Like Sophie said, our ATG group can't wait for the event. We're so excited. And well, Phyllis, we always like to close out kind of our podcast by asking a few fun personal questions. So I know you're crazy busy right now, but tell us, outside of work and volunteering, what are some of your favorite hobbies and things that you like to do?
Well, my husband and I, we go to the lake a lot. We have a place in Hot Springs. So we like to boat and kayak and just spend time on the lake. We really enjoy that. That'll probably be our retirement
Nice.
place in, not so distant future, right? But also, enjoy travel. We're about to leave on a trip next week, so really excited about that. So I do like to travel and explore different parts of the world. So it's always a lot of fun. And a new, I guess I this isn't necessarily a hobby, but that's consuming my time is we have a puppy and he is crazy. So I have a crazy puppy.
Oh.
And but he'll be a year old in December. So I keep calling him a puppy because he acts like it. So I'm thinking, is it magically at 1 year he's going to change and he's no longer going to be a puppy? So
What kind of dog is it?
he is a Shorkie, half Shih Tzu, half Yorkie, because we had a Snorkie, half miniature schnauzer, half Yorkie, who passed away at almost 18. And then we had a Shih Poo, half Shih Tzu, half poodle. So he is half of those two dogs. So I know that's
Oh,
kind of weird,
yeah.
but so he's kind of a combination of our last two dogs who died at old age, but we had them a long time. And it's hard to say goodbye, but they add so much to your life. I think pets really, really do. It's just that
Yeah.
nice, healthy balance to help keep you balanced in your life, I think. So, yeah.
All right. Are there any good books that you've read lately or any podcasts that you love to listen to?
Well, I like to listen to books. And so I listened recently. Well, I listened to, oh gosh, Liz Cheney's Obey and Trust. That was, yeah. That was, and you know, we won't get go political. So, but another one I listened to was The Next Day by Melinda Gates. And that really talked about transition and change. And you know, I figure I'm going to be retiring in a few years. So that resonated with me because that transition and change, you know, I need to be thinking about that. And I think that's good to think about those changes in your life. You know, she talked about going from, you know, a young professional to motherhood and then kids out of the house and then changing, you know, from leaving the Gates Foundation. So she's had some transitions in her life. And I think it really helps you think about those phases in your life and how you can prepare for that next phase. I think you're more successful if you think about what that looks like and not just go into it. I mean, I can't imagine retirement. I think you'd be bored, right? So I don't, I think in my mind, if I don't figure out what I do with my days, I'm going to be a little lost. So I've started thinking about that a little bit. I think that for me, I think that's helpful. So that really resonated with me. As far as podcasts, I listen to several news podcasts, but that can be kind of depressing sometimes. And I went through a period where I did a lot of like true crime, and sometimes that can get too heavy. So, but more recently, Julia Louis-Dreyfus has one, Wiser Than Me, where she interviews women over the age of 70. And she's had some amazing women on, like I think Julie Andrews was on and Catherine O'Hare. And their wisdom is really interesting, and it's much more lighthearted than some of the other things I listen to. So I've really enjoyed that and resonated with that one. And then there's one for health I really like, Zoe Science and Nutrition. Zoe is a company out of England that I actually have done some of their health testing. And so now I listen to their podcast, which is really interesting. So,
Well, awesome. Well,
yeah.
if someone's thinking about a career in, healthcare, finance, nonprofit, have any of those fields, what advice would you offer them?
Well, you know, I've always been, and I noticed generationally things kind of shift. But I think it's so important, and it's probably, this is going to show my age, but I think it's so important to be willing to do whatever you're asked to do in a role. So as you're starting out, if you're asked to do something, don't look at your job description and say, that's not in my job description. That is not the right attitude. And I think it's all about your attitude and showing up and being willing to do whatever it takes to be successful. Because if you make your boss and your company successful, you'll be successful. And if that company doesn't recognize you as what you're doing and what you're contributing, another company will. But you're growing that resume always, right? You're learning those new skill sets and those tools, and that will get you to the next level. And I think I see too many people today that are doing that. Oh, it's not on my job description, or oh, I don't want to do that. Well, do you not want to learn and grow? So I think it's so important to be open to learning and growing, because those experiences will either help you identify, I love doing this and I want to do more of it, or I don't like doing this, I need to find a different career, right? And I think it's important for you to find what you love and where your passion is. So work isn't work. Work gives you something you need in return. And you're just not going, oh, I hate to get up and go to work. So you need to find that passion. But if you're not open to trying new things and learning new things and experiencing new things, you're going to miss out. So I think it's so important to just be open and be ready, because I've seen some people close themselves off and not be ready when that next promotion opportunity came up. So they were overlooked. But you got to be open. You've got to be there ready to, you know, ready to learn and grow. And I think that's important, particularly for the younger generation, to really embrace and be willing to do that. And they'll be much more successful in their career.
Wow, that was such great advice. This has been just a great time talking with you, Phyllis, and catching up. You've had, no doubt, an incredible, incredible career. Definitely a leader, a mentor in the industry. Not only that, inspiring how you are so passionate about Ronald McDonald House and the Arkansas community. So thank you for all that you do. Thank you for joining us. It's been such a pleasure.
Well, thank you. I really, you know, Stephanie, Chris, this has been just so lovely. Thank you so much. It's great to reconnect. And this has been such a great conversation. So thank you. I appreciate you guys.
Yeah, I have to agree. I mean, Bill, this is, it's been inspiring. I mean, once again, thank you. Thank you for your time, your leadership, your service to Ronald McDonald House. And we can't wait to go to the Chocolate Fantasy Ball again this year. And we'll hope that our listeners will get involved and we'll see everyone there.
Yep.
Yes. And thank you for your support to Ronald McDonald House.
Yep. We'll see you all there. Thank you for tuning in today. We will feature more talent in the state of Arkansas and shine a spotlight on the great people and companies making a difference here. We'll see you next time.
We look forward to the next episode of Arkansas Talent. You can download this and future podcasts on Apple, Spotify, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Thanks for listening. Until next time.